listen to me, right? You see what you know said? This is a laughable thing because, listen, your child don't always be home with you.
No, I'm going to get to that. No. What I'm trying to tell you, sir, parents could be the most perfect people in the world, and you can still find some children getting in the way of doing some stuff.
Right. Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
So you can't protect them. You can't protect them for everything.
God, give them a chance, no? All I'm trying to say to you, right, is somehow or the other, because of what morals you try to degrade or put in a particular way or highlight in a way to make it seem okay, and you are still trying with your children, because of these particular persons that do these type of things, and some of these children look up to them, it really affect them because it's like some person doing a bad thing. But your child, not knowing what they're doing, they will gravitate towards that person saying, I want to be like that person. But when they find out that this person have been doing this to get through in life, you do not know what effects it may on your child also saying, well, I have to do this to achieve this, which is wrong. Despite you all the values you try to put, I am saying to you, when your child grows, despite the amount of values you're going to put, there is some strong elements of persuasion in music and the way things are going in any country all over the world. When we have some person here like him, right now at this point in time, bring out that type of tune and put as you claim what he put in it, whether it be 1, 2, 6, or 10 repetitive or what. I am just trying to tell you or say to the whole country or anybody, stop finding excuse for persons who degrade themselves, and you are saying, oh, you got to put values in your child. You will try, but you know a child will have a mind of his own at a particular point in time.
So will an artist, sir. So will an artist. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So the thing is, I guess I look at life maybe a little bit different. I would like to think, apart from God, now, I am my daughter's mentor. I am the one that she looks up to. I'm hoping, you know, we hope that. Celebrities come along, they rap, they do all kind of stuff. Kids go through this phase where, you know, oh, gosh, boy, I would like just to be like Jay-Z and so on and so forth. I believe that it is on the parent when they recognize that this child is idolizing these people, that they explain that you can appreciate their music, but you don't have to live how they live, that there is a difference.
When they are idolizing these particular people, you don't always know, be too late sometimes.
But I'm trying to tell you, you have Little Rick, you have Jay-Z, you got Cardi B, you have all of these people.
So you support what he did, long and short. That is it.
You're missing the point. I am not trying to get away from anything.
You support that he do it, man.
And you know what? And if I do, which I just said, but sir, one sec. You asked me a question, and I told you I have no problem with Rick's song. I believe that parents have a responsibility, and if they don't like it, they make sure that the children don't hear it, and if they do, explain. And you know what? If nobody buys that song, and nobody wants to hear it, who then is Little Rick then who's going to then suffer? And then he would have to probably look and say, well, look, this does not fly anymore. I'll have to do it in a different way. Stop putting people like Rick and making them into some sort of, you have a responsibility to my children. When you, sir, if you are a parent, you have a responsibility to your child before Rick has a responsibility to your children.
You know, nakedness breeds desire and lust. Nakedness breeds lust. You know that?
And so are some of the songs that we hear too, and they don't have any expletives.
Is a possibility it will not inspire you to lust. You understand?
I'll say this. I don't know if you're married or not, right? But I was making a general statement, and I said it earlier. There are songs, and I'm using Steen and Love on the side because every middle age and old man and whatever, you know, you go to a party, Steen and Love on the side, and she's smiling because she's thinking, I got your boyfriend or your husband. The thing is, that can create more problems, and it does, than Rick's song. That is my position on that. So if you want to ban every last thing and protect everybody, then you are. I am not tiptoeing, sir. I tried ballet years ago at school, and I really feel miserably, so I can't do the tiptoeing thing. Okay? But thanks very much for your contribution. It was interesting. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It's 14 after 1. You are on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. I want to make... I have two main comment, so question and a comment. But, you know, before I go to that area, I am encouraged to make a comment, a quick comment with this lyric thing. Mm-hmm. And if I recall, Billy Ray did a similar thing some years ago, and a similar song with the public, was outcry from the public, because of this lot of cursing thing again. So he got away with it back then, and I believe he benefited from it. And he's saying he finds it convenient to come visit one more time. So here he is again, taking a similar line. And if he's allowed to get away with it, it will become the norm.
May I ask you something?
He and a number of others.
May I ask you something, sir? Are you a parent?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You have girls, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have one, yeah.
So let's say that you hear Rick's song, you've heard it, and then you hear a song with sexual lyrics and telling you exactly where to put things and what to expect and so on and so forth. And your daughter is 10 years old. Would you... And in curse words, you know, they actually is just telling you what to do, you know, with this individual. And she's young. What is more concerning, Rick's song or the song that gives you the guidelines as to how and what you need to do to be sexually active and how you're supposed to feel and stuff like that? What would be more concerning for you? Rick's song or that sexual... lyrics where you should do this and do that and put this here and put that there. Tell me which one would be more concerning for you.
You know, there's a lot more in the discussion as you were trying to set up right now, and I don't really want to get too back and forth on it.
Okay.
In that way, you know. All I'm saying is that he came with it before and he's coming with it again.
Mm-hmm.
We have some social problems in this country, and those people who have social... charged with social responsibilities must carry out their responsibilities and look after.
But who charged him with the social responsibilities?
I'm not talking about him. I said people. I'm talking about those at the government level, the non-governmental organization. Those people that the country looks towards for some guidance.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. Okay, so I'm not talking about Lil Rick.
Well, okay. I understand what you're saying. No problem. Because we could carry the conversation down to, I could quote the seventh commandment, I believe it is. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But it didn't tell me in the Bible that you shouldn't use expletives.
I didn't want to say that, but you know, you come across to me as the proverbial apologist.
Well, that's your opinion. I respect that. I may not have to agree with it, but I respect your opinion, sir.
Could I move on quickly?
Sure.
So I want to say that this country, again, we're finding some major challenges with the gun violence in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And as Resident said, it's cropped up many times up in and out. And I remember the 1999 elections. I think the Democratic Labor Party under David Thompson led on the team of crime and violence. And I remember this government. This current government in the opposition at the time. This current, at the time when the Democratic Party were trying, the government then, the State Baptist Party government, mocked the Thompson effort to sensitize the public about the growing bad trend of violence and the attitudes that were going on. And they were very well mocked, including this Attorney General. And I, you know, I don't know how he feels now that it's come full circle again, bam in his face, and here we go. So and he seems clueless to resolve the gun violence that's going on, despite all the chats and all the experts that he's put in place and all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't know how he feels at this time. All right, that's my comment, but I want to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
I'm with you 100%.
Good. Again, at this point, I was probably hoping to speak to Mr. Ellis. I was speaking to Mr. Ellis at the time, but anyhow. So I am. This country needs all the employment it can get. Badly, young people are acting up. Seems to be, you know, because they don't have enough alternatives to keep them occupied. Mm-hmm. And employment is one of those things. And I don't understand. I just can't understand how with this country, people in top positions in this country and what's not gonna sit back and allow this government to cause a project like the Sanders project to be halted, which when completed perhaps this year, if it was continuing, would employ directly over 1,000 people, you know, close to 1,500 people, and indirectly in the lead up, you know, well over 1,000 again. So I just do not understand how this can happen, and nobody seriously has said anything about it. To me, it's really showed up in all this violence that's going on. You know, are we going to sit back continuously and allow this, because this government is popular, and with church love against the devs, do as you like, and nobody says anything at all? I just don't understand. We've got to have a conscience and speak up when we need to speak up.
But what was your question? You said you want to ask me a question.
I said basically what I want to say. I asked the question in terms of the Sanders project to fall down, mm-hmm. and therefore all the employment goes with that.
I would agree with you on one thing for sure. A lot of what we're seeing on the ground, not saying all of it, but the guys, they do need jobs. And obviously, lack of jobs will lead to some level of lawlessness. So I'm not going to disagree with you there. I speak to a lot of these guys on the blocks, and then they tell me the same thing. Joy, if we can get work. And again, there are some people who genuinely want work, and there are some people who genuinely want a career as a criminal. And no matter if you offer them work, but I do understand what you're saying in that part. As for the sandals, I'm not sure where the negotiations would be at this point. I haven't heard anything recently on it since it came up a couple months ago, where we are with the sandals. But hopefully they can sort that out, because that would generate a lot more jobs. Hopefully we can see a lot more capital works projects, as the Prime Minister announced in January 2nd that, you know, what will be happening. So I agree with you.
A bird in the hand is worth more than perhaps 1,000 in the bush. Mm-hmm. And this government is promises 1,000 birds in the bush. And I just, you know, I prefer the one in the hand.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't go for the dog in the bone. You know, you drop the bone, you catch the shadow, and that is what this government is doing. All right, that's all I say for now, man.
All right, I thank you so much for your contribution. 122, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello, John.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, me again. I call him back to respond to something that Marvin said earlier, which was very misleading. And I would really appreciate when people quoting me to respond to me and what I have said. When I talk about businesses, Prime Minister Spicestone, I never mention Indian, black, or white. I remember you saying that S.Y. Autumn is already there, and you need a popular and a sheriff. And I am going to prove what I said is true. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shop at S.Y. at Eddie's, Jordan's, and Popular. And I'm going to come on the program, because the bill that you get from the cashier is an official document. I'm going to break the same items at each establishment. And then you will see why. I don't know what foolishness he's talking.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, thank you very much for that. I just want to read a WhatsApp. Someone says, what kind of argument is that Joanne making? She's way off course. Stealing love may not be morally worthy, but it qualifies for airplay. The state doesn't dictate whether people abide by the laws of morality, but it sets standards for good taste in broadcasting. Stop finding excuses for wrongdoing. So let me correct that individual. I did say that it's not going to be played on the air. It's not airworthy, you know, and it's not going to be performed at concerts, because you can't use expletives Last time I checked, when I used to be promotions manager here at Starcom, the artist could not use expletives. Will other people listen to it in the cars? Of course they're free to. Staying in Love, yes, it has airplay, but I'm not talking about airplay worthy. I'm talking about the end result of a song. Is that song leading to creating some sort of level of violence toward with our youth? Or can we not see some other songs that are worthy of airplay, that can encourage behavior that would lead to breaking the seventh commandment? And even though that may be acceptable, the jealousy thing plays out and could lead to crimes of passion. That happens a lot more often than you're stating here. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. I want to take the opportunity, based on the WhatsApps I'm getting, to explain again my position on the Little Rick song. Did I say that I would play the song in my house in front of my children? No way. So don't get me wrong. All I'm saying is, people are talking about who has a social responsibility. And I'm saying that an artist, if he doesn't, or he doesn't feel he has one, the onus is on you as a parent to guide your children then when the people that they look up to behave in a way then that should disqualify them for being mentors, if you want to put it that way. So in America, for example, you have people who would have done well, song sports persons, and they do something wrong. Then people cry out, and then all of a sudden, no one looks at that person, him or her, as a mentor anymore. They start pulling sponsorship. They start pulling things. But that person doesn't have a responsibility to your children. That's what I'm trying to say. If an artist decides that he wants to make music that is not pleasing to the ears of our young children in terms of expletives, all I'm saying is you can't stop him from doing that. What you can do is to make sure that your children are not exposed. And if they are, then you just explain to them. That's all I'm saying. Would I play that song for Sky? No, I would not. Would I play that song in my neighborhood, blaring for my neighbors to hear? No, I would not. But do I think that Rick is wrong? I think Rick is free to express himself. And then Rick would then have to accept the consequences of the choices that he has made when he puts a song out like that. That is where I say I support him, because he has a right to choose. But he also has to recognize with his choices may come some consequences. But parents, please, artists, whether it's Rick, Cardi B, or whoever else, they're going to come, they're going to bring expletives, they're going to sing all kind of bad things. You need to protect your children and explain to them, because you have a responsibility to your child, to your children. They don't have a responsibility to them. That's all I'm trying to say. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Miss Ed.
Good afternoon.
Yes, happy new year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Mr. Ellis, where is Mr. Ellis coming back to the program?
Sorry, he didn't send me the memo.
How about Mr. Wickham, when he coming back to the
didn't send me the memo either, sir.
So you can check with the producer as to when he's coming back?
I believe it or not, he wouldn't know, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, earlier, there was some discussion about the building of a new geriatric hospital. I, too, can support the building of a new geriatric hospital. But I cannot support the knocking down of the old one. Now, it is always good to be able to build a new and to move on. But the old one, it is not that structurally weakened that it should be torn down. It can be refurbished, and Barbados is crying out daily for halfway houses. It can be converted into three or four different sections of halfway houses, people with different challenges, whatever. But I don't see the need to tear it down. As a matter of fact, you remember the song, the Mashup and Build Back?
Mm-hmm. Mashup and Buy Back.
Well, mm-hmm. Buy Back, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you say Buy Back. But Mashup and Build Back. Now, it does seem to be ringing in this government's head that they're going to mash up everything. And for whatever reason, I don't know. So they say that we just come and oppose. I oppose and I put a suggestion. I would like it remake and put into halfway homes. I come along with the Nightingale there and I see they keep changing it up and get it up to date till they enter group homes and things like that. So you know what that can be done. And now we're looking at the Mashup and Build Back. Now, the National Insurance Building will be coming down. What is going there when it comes down?
The Golden Square Freedom Park.
Golden Square Freedom Park.
Freedom Park, yes.
Golden Square Freedom Park. So you got a timeline for the Freedom Park?
Not exactly. I just know that the demolition is going to occur. The Freedom Park should be this year. The exact date, month, is unclear at the moment because it all depends on certain things happening. For example, the fire service has to actually move for the demolition to take place, and then the park will then be constructed before the end of the year.
And that is... You would say it's your timeline or that's the official timeline?
Well, it's not official timeline because I haven't given you a timeline. I actually said it should be before the end of the year, providing all goes to plan. But I believe that an exact month date will be announced soon. But as of now, I can tell you it is supposed to be before the end of the year. But you will get the exact time and date.
So when the National Insurance Building come down, mm-hmm. It will be going straight into the park.
Well, that should be the plan so that there's no delay and then you have this open space for months of nothing happening. So it would more likely be the demolition, clearing away of the rubble, and preparations then to construct the park right after that.
So you can give any assurance as to whether it will be going into a site office or not?
I can't even give assurance as to what's going to happen in the next minute. What I can tell you is it's going into a park. So if it has, in terms of a maintenance office, an office itself, like how they have at Independence Square, is that where you, like a booth, is that what you're referring to?
No. I'm talking about a site office for the Hyatt project.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the Golden Square Freedom Park. You're talking about something totally different.
No. We are talking about the same thing.
You said the word
when Hyatt. I want an assurance that when the National Insurance Building is knocked down, mm-hmm. to build the Golden Square Freedom Park,
mm-hmm.
that is not going to be used as a site office for the Hyatt first, and then eventually turn into a park.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a policy thing, and I don't have any information to suggest that that would occur. I can share with you what I know. The demolition will take place and a park would be put in place.
But yeah, but it probably will be a park eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why trying to find out the timeline.
Mm-hmm. You want the assurance that it's going straight into a park and not as a site for Hyatt.
A site office for the Hyatt project.
Well, as I said, to the best of my knowledge, I have not seen those plans to suggest what you're saying. I have seen plans that right after demolition, a park by the name of Golden Square Freedom Park will be constructed.
Right. Also, Ms. Hick, mm-hmm. the Transport Board had given out some notices a Friday to the vendors stating that the National Insurance Project will be starting the following Monday. You can remember that?
I remember that ship, and I believe it has sailed, but tell me.
But no. It might have sailed.
No, I believe you would have addressed it, but I have no problem addressing it again.
I still want to clear up something. There's a moderator that keeps saying that somebody jumped the gun. Now, if you serve notice, the very last working day before the project to start, how could you have jumped the gun? You mean they was to wait till the Monday morning when it started to notify the vendors? As a matter of fact, I think that they dragged the foot on it and delayed till then they had to come and notify the people when they should not have been the one to notify the people. They should have had at least a month notice that work can start on that project. And at the very last working Friday before it, they had to go and try to cover their end and put out a notice, and then you can go to moderator constantly saying that somebody jumped the gun. Even the Sunderland he had you on, he even slipped it into.
Well, sir, I can't speak on behalf of the other moderators. What I can tell you is that the demolition has not taken place as yet. A specific date has not been released as yet. Preparations are being put in place that would not impact anyone at this time. So you would have to then speak to the moderator in question that you want to sort of go down that road with, I should say, if you want further explanation as to why he has that position. I can't speak on his behalf on that, okay? Thanks very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 140. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm well, and you?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah. Actually, I'm calling in last Saturday. I made a visit to Bridgetown, where I usually go to get my ham cutters, since you can consider me to be a pork mouth. So anyhow, I decided I would take a look at the area which is being marked for upgrade as it relates to the park and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty much in agreement with the demolition work to be done as it relates to the NAS building and so on. But I had a very careful look at the area. It's fenced now. I'm taking it that the Fairchild Street Market, which the original one, is where the new one is going to be?
Correct.
Been?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I have a problem with that. Let me explain to you why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, if we are honestly thinking that we love the old folks and we would want the older folks to enjoy some of their labor, because they were the builders of Barbados. I would honestly say my generation, my age group, I'm 67, we have destroyed the for the most part what they would have built, because all the little good virtues and values of cutting contrive and manners make if man and all this type of stuff, we have thrown that, my generation, and our zest for prominence and to beat our chests as it relates to our upward mobility. We've forgotten those basic things that a lot of those persons back then who built the society, who could hardly read or write, were the ones who used a lot of common sense. So what I'm saying is that I would think that the powers that be should rethink trying to place that market where they're talking about. Instead, they should actually extend the existing bus stand right across that area. What you do is that river terminal, which is a disaster in every sense of the word, all right, placement, all that should be converted into a sports facility, which has, I think in close proximity, there is a table tennis area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, convert that to a sports facility, but extend so that I'm talking about moving all of those buses in that catchment, the river area, which is also that area where water, whenever it rains quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
there's a problem up there. I'm saying, if you now bring that, extend the existing bus terminal right across to include that area, you would have the booth vendors to the front, all right? At the back of the bus terminal, you will have what I would call the street vendors, the walkabout vendors at the back, right across there. What you would do, the government, just as they were able to compulsory acquire the land on Bay Street, all right, for the project, which is a good project to come on board the Hayek, they can compulsory acquire the properties, which would be, there's a road which is just above the NIS building, okay? And then there is a road which would lead into Nelson Street. I'm saying all of the properties in that catchment, the government should compulsory acquire those properties, and that is where they should site the Fairchester Market.
Okay.
What they could do then, is redirect the traffic which flows on the outside. That way, old people can take their load straight from the market area, which could be a supermarket could be incorporated in there. But I'm saying the distance in terms of walking is shorter for older folks. The young folks will be young folks, but older folks I'm talking about. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm also saying you could even have what would be an overhead type of a pathway if you don't want to have the older folks now walking in the street. Right? Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about that.
Well, okay. I mean, your suggestions are, everyone, I would say, that have some suggestions. They're not bad suggestions at all.
Right, right.
But I believe that a policy position has been taken. However, I would like to ask you, what parish are you hailing from? Because I understand that the Prime Minister, I know she has, because we saw one a couple of nights ago, the Ideas Forum in St. Lucie, and then they're moving from parish to parish.
Right.
So you can get a one-on-one with the Prime Minister, and I feel that you need to share that too.
Rest assured I will.
Okay.
I'm from the Republic of St. Philip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, my friend, my St. Philip friend.
Yes, right. Now, I also want to suggest that where you have that unsightly old Scotia Bank building, mm-hmm. the Speedbird House and all those, that can be converted to a national museum or a heroes museum, a library. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe you need to have a cinema back in Bridgetown.
A cinema, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So well, go on. You got to wrap up because I still have more than 10 minutes.
I am wrapping up on two small points. One, Little Rick's song, as far as I'm concerned, is adult-oriented. I support Little Rick 1,000% because if he had come from a privileged group or he was one of the older secondary school persons, a Harrisonian and stuff, a lot of the heat that he had to take over the years, he would not have taken. And I feel better about what he is doing and projecting. As a matter of fact, if you listen to most of the 2019 movies, mm-hmm. recent ones, from the States, they're having a hell of a, I mean, nearly everything is about cuss words, whatever,
mm-hmm.
all right? And I'm saying Bob Marley, who I'm also one of those persons who support,
mm-hmm.
have brought more, and I believe his song, Redemption Song, is one of the greatest songs ever made. But he came into the equation in the 80s, and he promoted marijuana in his songs.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fact. All right, and as you were making the point, mm-hmm. Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye, Don't Want to Be Right by Luther Ingram,
mm-hmm.
and Donna Summer, Love to Love, mm-hmm. Love to Love You Baby, are far, far worse than anything that Little Rick is saying in terms of cuss words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And as you said, rightfully, it's an adult song,
that's right.
And that's what I'm saying, it's an adult song.
And I'm trusting and hoping that you become a multimillionaire out of it.
Well, the promotion he's getting, he probably will.
I am extremely proud of Little Rick. That is the honest to God truth.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for your contribution. Down to Brass Tacks 148. Let's get some of these calls in before we sign off. Good afternoon. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, are you hearing me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yes. This is John Kelman.
Yes, sir.
And I am believing that I have caught a Democratic right to give my view on the issue in hand regarding Rick's production. I personally think that we all should agree that it takes a village to raise a child. That, therefore, deposits a whole lot of responsibility on those of us who are adults. Now, I would not at all say that little Rick was wicked. And thank God that the English has given us some words that we can use so that we can be a bit euphemistic about certain things. I wouldn't say he's wicked. I would say that he is, without doubt, irresponsible. Because, as a father, as I am, there are certain things that we owe the children of this Barbados. You don't leave it all up to the parents, because they are not forever with the parents as a shadow is. They would not do it in the home. The parents wouldn't exhibit that sort of behavior before them, but those children travel to school sometimes. They're not fortunate enough to go there by car. They've got to take one of the PSVs, and they can hear it there.
And they shouldn't hear it there, because there shouldn't be music in the PSVs in that way. But go ahead.
But it happens.
Okay.
So a chain is as strong as its weakest link. We don't say that if one of these links break, that the chain is no longer there. The link is broken. And therefore, these children are subject to the hazards of somebody's carelessness or irresponsibility. And someone of Rick's status should have before him the children are going to hear this. So whether somebody going to say it's an adult song, the children are not pushed in any chamber that they're not exposed. And I am responsible for the child who is going to hear my song. I'm not calling the child to sit here, let me teach you the lyrics. But I did it without thinking that the little people are people too. We very often disregard that these youngsters are coming up, and all that is written on their slate, we wrote it. Not with a stick of chalk and a blackboard, but by your behavior, which they emulate.
But John, if I can ask you a question.
Yes, please, go on.
And I'm hoping I can explain myself, as you know, so that you can understand in the public. If a government or society puts someone on a pedestal and that person does something to disappoint people, he or she either comes and says, A, I made a bad decision, or B, I stand by my position.
Yeah.
If that person decides to do A, you know, we forgive them and we move on. If that person decides, look, I'm an artist, this is how I wish to express myself, don't you think then that those who look up to individuals, whether it be governments or people who put people on pedestals or use them for anti-bullying ads or different things, those persons are normally stripped of the opportunity to do that. So what I'm trying to say is, where I'm supporting Rick is that he has a right to choose. It doesn't mean that I have to listen to it, or my daughter, I listen to it, I'm an adult. But will I play it for my daughter? No. Will I play it loud enough for all my neighbors to hear, knowing that they're all senior citizens and probably Christian? Probably not. But what I'm trying to say is that Rick has made a choice. If he decides that he wants to pull it back, it's his choice. And if he decides not, he will then have to live with the consequences of either people saying, yes, I like it, or people pushing back, which means that he may be pulled from the pedestal that people are saying he has a social responsibility. He may not want that social responsibility. I'm just saying, I'm not speaking for Rick. I haven't heard from Rick's position other than what I read in the paper. So that's all I'm trying to say. It's a choice. He has made his choice. Does he want to pull it back? We don't know. If he doesn't, then we need to then tell our children, the people that we put on pedestals or you do, we need to educate them and explain to them, this is what can happen. That's all I'm saying. I just feel that we're coming down on him. Fine, we have a right to. But he has a right to make his choice as an artist. That's all I'm saying, John.
Yes, I have never disagreed with that. But what I'm saying is, and that is why I chose my adjective carefully.
Mm-hmm.
I am not dubbing him as being a wicked man. I'm saying he was irresponsible. Perhaps he doesn't even recognize it as irresponsible.
Well, exactly. That's the question. We don't know.
That
if
doesn't mean that he isn't. You know, I have the right to kill myself.
No,
Is that really? I wouldn't even talk about morality.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really matured and an irresponsible move? But I have the right to commit suicide. I have the right mm-hmm. to do that. But it is only leading me to conjecture that the idea of something called human rights
mm-hmm.
is the worst wrong that was ever imposed on humanity.
But I'll say this because I want to take one more call before. John, if we had Lil Rick as Ambassador Ricky Reed, if we had Rick in that light, I could understand where his responsibility lies, and he would be stripped of that title if he wasn't true to his responsibility. But Rick is an artist. Rick may not want that responsibility. Why are we putting a responsibility on someone who may not want it? I'm not saying, speaking for him at all, but I'm just saying, what if he doesn't? What if he just wants to be left alone as an artist, express himself as he sees fit? Don't you think then, as mothers and fathers, we then have a responsibility to explain then to our children?
But let me say this bit now, because we must move on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am in agreement with you that he has that he can make his choice, and you said that he's not committed as an ambassador. But you know what I'm committing him as? A father. That's what I'm committing him as. And that takes with it something called responsibility. Because what I wouldn't want for my child, I'm not going to give to yours. But
But didn't I not say, John, too? I wasn't playing it for my daughter. If my big daughter at university came home and played smut lyrics in my house, as much as I could listen to it sometimes, I'm not comfortable listening to it, even though she's 29. I'd be like, girl, Lord, on that, or play that, you know, outside, because she's 29. She's free to listen to what she wants. But do you feel comfortable hearing swearing in front of your kids with lyrics? No, you don't. But it doesn't mean that they can't listen to it as adults. You've just educated them. And if they choose to listen, then you're going to have to let it go. But I'm going to have to leave that one right there. If I could take one more call. Dr. Brass Stacks, you're on the air. 157. All right. Well, John says, no, we can't. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you to the callers. Little Rick, a shout out to you. I know, you know, you're in a position right now where you're, you know, taking on a lot, and the responsibility is for you to decide, in my opinion. To those who have sent me WhatsApp messages that I could not read, I apologize. I'm hopeful that maybe we can read them on Monday. Not sure who's in the chair then. So until, God bless. I'm Joanne Haig. Thank you, John Stout, for producing. And until we meet again, God bless.